One of the benefits of walking wisely is God's divine protection over us. God desires to protect us, and if we are walking wisely, remember, we have His viewpoint. We're responding on the basis of how He sees things, what He thinks is the wisest thing to do. And so, look at two or three scriptures here. Beginning in chapter 4, look, if you will, a moment at this verse 5. He says, "Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her." Remember now that wisdom is personified. "Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you." The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Don't forsake it. That is, don't ignore what is the will of God. Don't ignore God's plan. But Father, how do you see this? How are you looking at this circumstance? God wants to protect us. He wants to protect us from a number of things. And so, if you'll also look in the 28th chapter, and look, if you will, in this 26th verse. He says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered." And he's simply saying what? And that is that you and I cannot trust our own emotions in making decisions. We must trust our Lord. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Therefore, if I'm going to walk wisely, I can't walk by my feelings. If I'm going to walk wisely, I can't walk by hearsay. Must absolutely ignore the world's standards if we're going to walk wisely, because the world is walking unwisely. They're not asking God, "What do you want? God, what is the best? What is your way? What is your will? What is your purpose? What is your plan?" The world's not interested in that. But men and women who walk wisely are continually asking, "What's the wise thing to do? What fits your will and your purpose and your plan for my life? What is the best? What are the consequences of this decision? What are the benefits of this decision?" God, who is committed to giving us direction, desires to protect us. Now, there are many things here in the book of Proverbs that you and I could turn to where God is talking about protecting us from this, that, and the other. So, let's just look at two or three of them here and ask ourselves the question, what is it that God wants to protect us from? Well, let's look at three of them. In chapter 14, beginning in verse 15, he says, "The naive," the person who's careless, indifferent, "the naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. A wise man or woman is cautious, turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless." That is, a person who's walking wisely, God's going to protect them from evil, because they're asking the question, how does God see this? How does God see this opportunity? How does God see this offer? How does God see this appeal? How does God see this invitation? We are going to be protected from those things that are evil. That's exactly what he's saying here in this particular passage. And so, as you think about your life and think about dangers that you face, temptations you face, trials, difficulties, how are you going to respond? He says he certainly will protect us from those things that are evil. The second thing I want you to notice here is this, and that is he will protect us in our relationships. That is, all of us have relationships, church and your business, your world, your family, whatever it might be. And I want you to turn to this second chapter for a moment and notice, if you will, in this second chapter, let's begin with verse 10. Listen to the ways that God says he will protect us now. He says, "For wisdom will enter your heart, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil," because there are many offers of evil. He says, God will watch over us, wisdom will take care of us. "From the man or the woman who speaks perverse things, deceitful things, things that will lead us astray." He says, "Protect us from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Those who delight in doing evil, rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways." He said, those who would lead us astray. Secondly, to deliver us from the strange woman or man. They're not just strange women, they're strange men. "From the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth, forgets the covenant of her God, and her house sinks down to death. Tracks lead to the dead. None who go into her or to him return again. Nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and all the treacherous will be uprooted from it. He says, God will protect us in our relationships. And he says, there is evil. There are those, for example, who would lead us astray in some way or the other. Although those who are living immoral lives who would have some impact on us. And so God's wisdom is always there. What is the wise thing to do? What would God have me to do in this particular situation? What is the thing that pleases Him? How does He look at this? And so one of the things He protects us from is our relationships, and protects us in those relationships, and protects us to choose. For example, how many parents have said to their kids, I don't think you ought to run around with them. Well, I want to know why not. There's nothing wrong with them. They have good parents, or this, that, and other, and so forth. I don't think you ought to go. Well, just tell me why not. I can't tell you why not. I just think you shouldn't go. What is that? That is the perception of a mother who has this intuition inside of her that says, if my son or my daughter run around that crowd, they're going to have trouble. And so we, all of us, have grown up with parents who said, no, I don't want you running around with them. I don't want you fraternizing with them. I don't want you fellowshiping with them. I don't want you being seen with them. No, I don't want it. And we've said, well, I don't know why. I don't understand that. Why can't we? And something inside of you, you knew better. And how many parents have had to go back to their kids and say, I told you not to do it. You asked me why. I couldn't tell you why. I just knew that it wasn't the right thing to do. So God protects us, and He gives us wisdom and understanding as we walk wisely to discern what's the mind of the Lord, what's the mind of God. How does He see these things? What would He have us to do? Likewise, He protects us, I think, when you're really walking wisely, He protects us from making serious mistakes. Let's look in chapter 2, verse 8 for a moment, and these first few chapters are so full. He says in verse 8 of the second chapter, He says, He guards the paths of justice, wisdom does, and He preserves the way of His godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good cause. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. That is, He will protect us from making serious mistakes. Why? Because if you and I are walking wisely, think about this, we're asking the question, how does God see this? What's the wisest thing to do? He's certainly going to show us what is the wise thing to do. Therefore, we will come to some particular decision in life. We won't know what to do sometimes. But God, listen, as we learn to walk wisely, we will know more and more what to do when we face given situations. And He will give us discernment. He will give us intuition. What He really has given us from a scriptural point of view is the Spirit of God who does what? Who prompts us to do the right thing. Who prompts us that something is evil. Who prompts us about the wrong direction. Who prompts us about wrong relationships. Who prompts us in the right decision. Who prompts us to make wise investments. Who prompts us to do those things that are pleasing and honorable to Him. Why? He's committed to guiding us, committed to giving us wisdom. That's one of the benefits of walking wisely, and that is He is a protector of every single facet of our life. It's foolish to walk unwisely. It's foolish to make decisions on your own apart from Almighty God. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, He'll direct your path. Lean not to your own understanding. Remember that all of our understanding, when we do not have Christ in our life, when we're living our life without God, all of our understanding, listen, is marred by the fact that we have a sinful nature. We came into this world with a sinful nature. We naturally want to do those things that please us, that gratify us, that bring us pleasure, that bring us comfort, that bring us assurance, that bring us security. And so instead of asking what is the wise thing to do, we ask what's the benefit? The issue is, what is the benefit of doing it God's way? The benefit of doing it God's way is always, always beneficial. We get a greater understanding of Him, clear direction for our life, and He will protect us in those circumstances and situations whereby you and I can never know, humanly speaking, all of the facets involved and all of the consequences of making the right or wrong decision. God knows what they are. So therefore, when He says, this is what I want you to do, wise men and women, heed the wisdom of Almighty God and obey Him.